Hey, thank you for joining us today. In just a moment, I'm going to share a message from God's Word. And I've prayed over the message, and I've asked the Lord to allow it to be biblical and relevant and, of course, practical. We want to be able to be a help to our members today and those that are listening to the message. So go ahead and grab your Bible and join me. We're getting ready to get started. God bless you. Well, join me, if you would, in the book of James this evening, James chapter number 5, please. And we're going to focus our attention on one verse of Scripture, just verse number 12 tonight. And I want to look at this subject, yes means yes. Go and say it with me. You didn't sound very confident. Yes means yes. Right? Look at verse 12, James 5, verse 12. Now, if we were to go back, beginning verse 7, the discussion's on patience, right? And so be patient, James saying. And, you know, you don't pray for patience, right? You've heard that. Because what do you get when you pray for patience? You get people that enter into your life that drive you crazy. That's what you get, you know. But the subject matter is about being patient. And James concludes the section with these words, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not." Now, you know that word swear there. Sometimes we use that to describe foul language, right? And that's not what that word means here. What he's talking about here is taking an oath or making an oath, right? Did you ever hear somebody say that? I swear to. So James says, "Above all things, my brethren," who's he speaking to here? He's talking to the family of God. "Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." In other words, what he's saying in this text is this: say what you mean, and mean what you say. Yes means yes. You've heard that before, right? Say what you mean, and mean what you say. And what he says here, in fact, you know the Scriptures. I'm going to ask you to turn somewhere in a moment. The Scriptures discourage us from making oaths. And, you know, by you know, making a promise or giving a yes and then having to solidify it with, "I swear." I remember growing up, that was a big deal. You know, where, you know, "I swear," and they would say all kinds of things. "Swear all kinds of things." Mostly it was, "I swear to God." What does that even mean? Huh? I think the Bible teaches when you and I say yes, we ought to mean yes. And if you have to back up your yes with, "I swear," then your character doesn't have enough weight to confirm your words. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes we'll say this, "Honestly." So if you didn't say honestly, you were going to tell me a lie? I mean, honestly, Pastor. You know, sometimes I say honestly. Let me just say honestly. You know, I don't know, it's just a way to emphasize or maybe to get somebody's attention. But our character, our testimony should have weight to confirm our words. Isn't that right? And that's what I think we're reading here in this text. Look at Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. Let's back this up. Now, this is going to be a couple of week Bible study, just so you know. Matthew chapter 5, look what Jesus says. Now, Let me ask you to be a Bible student for a moment. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, this text of Scripture is part of a larger passage, right? And what are we looking at here? What is it called? Sermon on the Mount, right? And you know what the Sermon on the Mount's about, right? It's when Jesus gathers his team. They're green. They're novices. I mean, he just called them out of a secular world, and he gathers them, and he begins to teach them, he begins to train them, he begins to influence them with the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, just isn't it great teaching? How many of us love studying? I love studying the Sermon on the Mount. It's so diverse and so powerful. One of the things I love about it gives us what I call kingdom rules, and they're rules that you and I ought to live by each day. You've heard me mention it many times. I promise you, church, I pray that for myself each morning. Lord, today, help me to live by the rules of the kingdom. And I pray it, which matters to me. Help me to love those that are hard to love. Help me to love those that are unlovable. You know, help me to go the extra mile. Help me to give to those who have no opportunity to give back to me. Right? That's the way I pray kingdom rules. Because I want to be able to advance God's kingdom. I want to take it serious, right? And I know you do as well. Well, this text here is part of that message, part of the Sermon on the Mount. And look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 5, and look in verse 33. Again, ye have heard that it's been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, so no matter what they said in the past, it makes no difference, because now I say unto you. So, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious groups said this, but I say. That trumps everything. He said, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth, for it's his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst, you can't make one hair white or black, or make it grow. Wouldn't it be nice, Dave? If we can make it grow, I know. But let your communication be what? Yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. In other words, what he's saying is, yes means yes. Say what you mean what you say. Right? Well, when you read through the scriptures, here's what you find. God says yes, and when God says yes, God means yes. Amen. Listen to this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea. In other words, God's saying yes. And he backs it up with and amen. And that's finished. That finishes it. Right? We say amen. I agree. So when God says yes, God means yes. Listen to this. When God says no, he means no. When God says no, he means no. So no means no. Yes means yes, and no means no. Go over to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and you know this text. Verse 7. Paul speaking here to the church in Corinth. He says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, you know what he's talking about there, right? Previously, he kind of shared the fact that he was given a glimpse of eternity. He was given a revelation. You know, he was ushered up into the third heaven and saw things that he just couldn't speak about. God sends him back to earth. You know, he has his vision. Now he's back on earth, you know, and now he's got this thorn in the flesh. And look what he says here about this. He said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord, what, thrice. In other words, what he's saying is, I asked the Lord, I prayed three times and asked the Lord, please, Lord, remove it. Have you ever prayed for God to remove something from your life? Let's be honest. Sure. And he said unto me, no. Your Bible say that? It could. Paul said, please remove it from me. And God said, no. Instead, I'm going to give you something better. I'm going to give you something better. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God said no, and Paul said, in the long run, boy, he's so wise. He's so good. He knows better. How many of us come to understand this? I really don't know what I need. But he does. And there's many times I pray for things that I think I need, and I'm so glad he's wise and he doesn't give them to me. Because if he gave them to me, it'd be nothing but a burden. Right? So, here's a challenge for us, and here's the message, here's the Bible study for tonight, and then next time. Here's the challenge. You ready? We should place our yes where God places his yes, and we should place our no where God places his no. Now take that in for a second. Highlight that in your mind. Hide that someplace in your heart. In other words, wherever God says yes, I should say yes. And wherever God says no, I should say no. What do you think about that? How many agree? Raise your hand. Now, how many of us would say this? I celebrate it when God says yes, but I struggle when He says no. Huh? It's kind of like Job chapter 1, where Job says this. You know, the Lord has given. And then he said, and the Lord has taken away. Now, I don't know about you, but I, for one, I've always enjoyed it when the Lord gives. Can I be honest with you? I don't like it when He takes away. Huh? I love it when He gives me a good night's sleep. I don't like it when I can't sleep. Huh? And sometimes I come to realize, you know what? I'm not sleeping because the Lord doesn't want me to sleep. He wants me to pray. Have you ever gotten up 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for no reason, and all of a sudden somebody comes to your mind? Huh? And you say, what in the world is that person's face doing in my head? God put that person's face there so you might pray for him. Who knows what they're going through? I've had many people come through the years, preacher, and say to me, Pastor, I was up like 2, 3 o'clock this morning praying for you. Was everything okay? I said, no, last night I was really, really sick right around that time. It's amazing how that happens. Ever happened to you? I know, preacher, I know you've had that experience. It's a wonderful thing when God, you know, allows other people to make contributions to your well-being through prayer. And so I think when it comes to God's economy, we need to come to a place in our lives where I'm willing to say yes, place my yes where God places His yes, and my no where God places His no. You know what Job said at the end of it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So here's what I want to do tonight. I want to take a look at some of the things in the Bible where God says yes. Some of the things in the Bible where God says, when God says yes. And then next time, we're going to take a look at places in the Bible where God says no. Now, this is not going to be an exhausted study. It would take us too long. But I have a few things I want to share with you tonight that I hope be a blessing to you. I want you to notice first, let's start at the beginning. God says yes to faith. God says yes to faith. Now, that might sound kind of basic. And I'm glad it does, because it is. But here's what I found out a long time ago, Craig. You don't graduate from the basics. You know, when I went to school, you know what they taught me? How to count. 10 fingers, 10 toes. How to multiply. I learned my times table. I wasn't really good with algebra. You know, because I heard it said before, you're never going to really use that to count up your paycheck. But you better know how to add, subtract, and multiply. And here's the thing. I learned that when I was in elementary school, right? The times table, early on. And I've not graduated from that. I still use math all the time. Now, I cheat. I use a calculator. A little bit easier. Nonetheless, we still use math. So there are some things that we as God, we just never graduate from. And the foundational teachings of faith, we don't graduate from. Look at Hebrews chapter number 1 with me. Hebrews chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says in Hebrews 1 about faith. This is the beginning. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11. What am I saying? Hebrews 1. Hebrews 11 in verse number 6. I'm sorry. It says this. Are you there? Look at it. But without faith, it is what? Impossible. It is impossible. To what? To please Him. For they that come to God must believe that He what? That He is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so, in other words, what He's saying there is this. Faith is where our relationship with God begins. Outside of faith, there is no relationship with God. It begins right there. Right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because they that come to God must believe that He is. You know what that is? What is that right there? That's faith. That's faith. So God says yes to faith. And wherever God places a yes, I ought to place my yes. Don't you agree? So let's talk about faith together just for a little. What is faith? What is faith? Well, let me just give you the simplest, basic Bible definition, Christian experience of faith. Here it is. You ready? Faith. Faith is simply when you and I trust God. We trust God. We trust Him. Take it a step further. We trust His character. We trust His promises. We trust His power. And we can go down that. We're just simply trusting God. That's what faith is. It's trusting God's Word. It's taking God at His Word. Right? So, here's faith. I trust this is God's Word, the Bible. How many of you agree? God's Word. Right? Do we agree all of it is God's Word or just parts? You know, there's a belief, a very popular belief, that teaches that the Bible contains the Word of God. Is that how we feel? No, the Bible is the Word of God, every bit of it, right? From the beginning to the end. God's breathed it. It's inspired and preserved. That word preservation is important. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7, you know, talks about God preserving His Word for the generations. So what I have in my hand, I believe, is absolutely perfect. Right? I believe that with all my heart. I trust this is God's Word. If I say I have faith in God's Word, then you know what I do? I take God at His Word and I obey it. Right? It's God's Word, and so I obey it. And so what is faith? Faith is simply you and I trusting in God, taking Him at His Word. It's not just merely, you know, believing in facts. It's relying on God Himself. I am trusting God. I like that. So Bible is trusting in God's character. Faith is trusting in God's character, trusting in God's Word. Right? So, when you examine faith in the Bible, here's what you come to understand. There is, first and foremost, saving faith. Right? Saving faith. And so, I'm not going to ask you to contribute this evening so we can keep this thing moving. But you know what saving faith is? Saving faith is no different than faith. Faith is what? Faith is trusting God's character. Trusting God's Word. Saving faith is trusting God's character, trusting God's Word. Right? And so, how are we saved? By faith. Right? What's it say over there in Ephesians chapter 2? You remember that text? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, 9. For by? Through faith. By grace. It's undeserving. It's God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. And I trust that. And when I trust that, you know what I am? I'm saved. Saving faith. I like saving faith. Don't you? Romans chapter 10, verse 13. You know what it says? For whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. Right? Saving faith. So, it says this in verse 14. I know we love verse 13, but listen to verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. However, how can you call upon Him if you've not believed? Right? And how in the world can you believe if you've not heard? And how can you hear without a preacher? That's full cycle. Right? Our youth pastor came in this morning and said to me, Pastor, let me ask you a question. He said, I'm doing a Bible study in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. Did you ever read Romans 1? Great passage of Scripture. Huh? Talks about people who are just lost, and the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 20, and they're without excuse. And so his question to me was this. He said, remind me again of what happens to a person who is in a remote area of the world. How do they get saved? And I said, well, if you look at Romans chapter number 1, here's what the Bible teaches. The very first thing they do is this. They use the light that is in them. John 1 and verse number 4 or 5 says there's light in every man that's come into the world. That light is insight. That light is knowledge. That light is intuitive. That light will lead you to say there's got to be something larger than me, bigger than me. And Romans chapter 20 says creation becomes a witness. So if somebody in a remote part of the world, some jungle way back in the outback, you know, begins to say there's got to be something more, and they look at creation. Creation is a witness. Right? That's the first witness. Romans chapter number 1 talks about conscience. Right? And so we have, the Bible talks about our conscience being, you know, the Holy Spirit. And our conscience itself tells us there's got to be more, there's got to be more. And here's the teaching that goes along with that. If somebody in that remote area uses the witness that God gave them, the witness of conscience, the witness of creation, God will send them somebody called a missionary. Amen. Huh? Why? Here's why. Nobody can get saved, whether you're in the city or in a remote jungle, without trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way you get saved. So how can they call on Him in whom they've not heard? That's not God's fault. That's our fault. If they're not getting the gospel, it's not because of God. Why? Because 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says He put the gospel in our care. We've been put in trust with the gospel. It's what we do with it. We got to get the gospel to these places. Don't you agree? So when you look in the Bible and you begin to talk about things that God says yes to, God says yes to faith. Why? Because that is the beginning stages of a relationship with Him. Saving faith. Saving faith. But then there's also something called sustaining faith. So we're saved by faith, and that is simply you and I trusting God's character, trusting God's word. God is not a man that He should lie. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm trusting that, Brian. I used to have a deacon that used to say this, hey, if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting Jesus. You know what he's saying there? I got nothing else. That's all I'm holding on to. Is Jesus or nothing? Is Jesus or bust? That's saving faith. But that same faith will sustain us, where we got to trust Him. I like what it says in Matthew 9, verse 29. Jesus, in the situation here, He touches their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it done unto you. According to your faith, be it done unto you. And how many times can we look in the New Testament, especially the Gospels, Jesus speaking to somebody, and it was always based upon their faith. He said this, He could not do great works in His hometown because of their unbelief. Right? And so faith will sustain us. It'll keep us. That's what faith does for us. And so God says yes to faith, and we're told the just shall live by faith, and so we ought to place our yes where God places His yes. Amen? Amen. All right, let's move on. Let me give you a second thought. When God says yes. Listen to this one. God says yes to humility. God says yes to humility. Think about that for a second. Humility. Huh? I heard somebody say this many years ago, and it's so true. Humility isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking less of. It's thinking of yourself less. So you're not humble because you keep flogging yourself. Oh, I'm nobody. I'm no good. I don't know how God can love me. It's always, you know, think about that. I'm no good. How can God love me? Pity me. You're thinking about yourself too much. Right? Because the Bible says this. We're a child of God. I'm God's son. I have value. I have worth. Right? But He does say yes to humility. You know what I pray in the morning? And all I can share with you, would you like me to tell everybody what you pray? Well, then you're going to have to tell me what you pray. But let me tell you what I pray. I pray, Lord, give me a humble heart today so I recognize how much I need You. Did you hear that prayer? Lord, would You give me a humble heart this morning or today so that I recognize throughout the day how much I need You? I can't do it without Him. Huh? All throughout Scripture, you find God's approval upon the humble heart. In fact, humility seems to be a prerequisite in God's economy. Listen to this Bible verse. You've heard this before. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If My people, which are called by My name, right? And then he gives us a list. The end result is, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. But what do they need to do? First, humble themselves. Top of the list, humble themselves. And pray. But humble themselves. You know why that comes first? Because nothing else matters if it doesn't start with a humble heart. Are you with me? Nothing else matters. Prayer and seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways, that all comes from somebody who says, I need God. I can't do it without God. And so God says yes to humility. And wherever God places a yes, we ought to place a yes. Go to the book of James, back to James with me, and look in chapter number 4. James 4. Again, you know this passage. Let's take it apart for a moment. James 4. Look at verse 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth what? More grace. He giveth more grace. Now let's pause for a second. Talk to me about grace for a second. You know, I think sometimes we look at grace and we really cheapen it. You know, we just kind of, you know, it's God's unmerited favor. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Can I give you an inside look at it? It's God's enablement. Right? Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 10. According to the grace given me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. How did he lay the foundation? With the help of God. Right? God gave him grace and he was able to. So how could you be a good husband? How could you be a good wife? How could you be a good son or daughter? How could you be a good church member? How could you be a good Christian? By God's help. With God's help. And that's grace. Look at this text again. But he giveth what? More grace. Not just grace. He gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, look at this. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the who? Humble. You know what that Bible verse is saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, when you're doing a situation and you say something like this, that's okay, I got it. I got this. God is saying, okay. Okay. You know what that is? That's pride. That's pride. That's pride. That's pride. I'm not going to say this next time, but let me say it now. God says no to pride. So where God places a no, you ought to place a no. But he says yes to humility, and so we ought to place. So when you say, I got this. I don't, look here. I can preach. I don't need to pray. I can preach. I got this. Okay. I can sing. I can sing with my eyes closed. Where's Aaron? Aaron can sing with his eyes closed. He says, I got this. Okay. And all of a sudden, as he's singing that song, he gets a little tickle in his throat. I got this. So what happens? God resists the proud, or he doesn't give help to those that are prideful. But what does he do? He gives grace to who? The humble. Those who recognize they need what? His help. I need his help. How about you? I need his help. And so God says yes to a humble heart. When we say yes where God says yes, we humble ourselves before him. And God blesses us. I like that. I like that. Can I give you another one? You okay? Warm in here? Everybody all right? I know Shay's flashing over here. She's going like this. She's making me nervous. You okay? All right. Let me give you another one. God says yes to his will. Right? So God says yes to faith. And if God places a yes there, we should what? Say yes. God says yes to humility. If God places his yes there, we should say yes. God says yes to his will. Now look at 1 John with me, chapter 5. 1 John, chapter number 5. Look at verse 14. John 5, 1 John 5. And verse 14, let me get there, I'm sorry. Ready? Look at that passage. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Don't you like that Bible verse? I like that Bible verse. Huh? First of all, I like the idea that God would listen to me. God would hear me. And if we know, verse 15, that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Wow. That's powerful. So let's talk about the will of God for a moment. Want to do that? Let's talk about it for just for a moment. We won't get too deep, but we'll talk about it just for a moment. I like to say this. The will of God is a complete work. It's a complete work. When speaking about the will of God, I think you can break it down in several aspects. There's first, we call it the general will of Almighty God. The general will of God. And when you speak about the general will of God, that would include, history, the past. We can look back to creation and some of the things that went on there. We look at redemption. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, all should. That's the general will of God. The general will of God is God wants everybody to be saved. Right? General will of God. Nothing can stop what God has sovereignly ordained. God put it all in motion. Right? And He's sovereign. The general will of God. Somebody comes along and says, Pastor, what's the will of God for my life? Well, I don't know specifically, but the general will of God for your life as a child of God, first and foremost, be Christ-like. Right? Romans chapter number 8, verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That's what the Bible says. And so the general will of God for every child of God, including me, is for you and I to live Christ-like. General will of God. But then there's the moral will of God. The moral will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Right? And so that would talk about things like holiness and love and forgiveness and justice and humility. So God says yes to His will, His general will and His moral will. But then He's got a personal will. He's got a personal will. Romans chapter number 12. Would you go there with me? Romans chapter 12. You tired of turning? You okay? Are you having as much fun as I am? Look at verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we ripped that apart the last few weeks. But look at this section. That ye may prove what is what? That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the personal will of God for your life. Now look up here for one second. I love that word perfect. It's perfect for me. It's perfect for me. Right? God's will is perfect for you. He took you and I in consideration. Right? I've been married to Donna for over 40 years now. Believe with all my heart, without a doubt, the perfect will of God. We met when we were 17 years old. 17. I had no idea I was going to be a preacher at that point. I had no idea. I didn't get saved until I was 19. We met when we were 17. And she, I don't know if she'll testify to this or not, but I mean immediately, we were drawn. We were drawn. I don't know what that love at first sight business is all about. I really don't know what that means. But I knew this. There was something special about her. There was. And I knew she knew this. There's definitely something special about me. No. But as we got closer to God, and of course then we got married several years later, and as we got closer to God and His will for my life began to unfold, I'm going to tell you this. My wife, I could not have had a better person as my life mate than her. I'm telling you, man, she makes up for so many of my flaws, so many of my weaknesses. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, she's just there. She's quiet. She, you know that. She's been here for your pastor's wife for almost 4 years. She's behind the scenes. She doesn't, no frills with her. She's a servant. She loves people. I'm just the opposite. I hate people. I'm loud. I get my own way. I open my mouth and everything comes out that's a mess. I got to apologize all the time. She never fights me. She never... It's always been, even some of the major decisions of our life, it's always been, if you believe it's God's will, so do I. I never forget the very first time I came home with a big situation. My pastor asked me, this is many years ago, my pastor called me in the office one day and he asked me if I would consider being a deacon. And I thought to myself, what? Do you know me? You probably haven't followed me around. Huh? And I don't want to give you a bad impression of myself. I'm a holy guy. I live close to God. I walk with God. But I'm real too. And there are some days that just don't get in my way. You may not admit that about yourself because you're just too full of yourself. But I'll admit it about myself. And that's why I said, me? You really me? And I really thought about that. I said, good grief. And Derek, I couldn't wait to get home. And I think if my memory serves me right, Donna was in the bedroom folding clothes. Is that right? See, those big moments you don't forget. Not folding clothes, what I was about to tell her. And I kind of casually, you know, came in, hey, sweet, how you doing? Hey, you're never going to believe this. I talked to Pastor Higgins today, and guess what he asked me? And she said, what? I said, he asked me if I would consider being a deacon. And you know what she said to that? She said, are you serious? You? Does he know you? No, she didn't say that. You know what she said, Steve? I know. And I said, did he call you? He never called me. God told her. God put it upon her heart. Why? Because the will of God is absolutely perfect. Boy, if we can just teach our kids that, it'll take all the pressure off of them. Because some of our kids are making a royal mess of their lives. Huh? Because they're listening to their peers. They're listening to the internet. They're listening to screen time. They're listening to their emotions. If they can just realize that God's will is absolutely perfect and get in it, it takes all the pressure off. Right? Perfect will of God. Nothing like it. I used to do this. I want to finish with this. My first pastorate, I think I told you this before, we didn't qualify, right, Donna? We didn't qualify for poverty. We didn't qualify. And we were so poor, we couldn't even qualify for poverty. And I used to have to go to the thrift shop and buy my suits. But I'm going to tell you something. The thrift shop I went to, I never told anybody where I would go. They used to have Bill Blass suits and Armani suits. And I mean to tell you, nice suits, man. And I get them, take them to the tailor, get them to tailor, and everybody thought they got a brand new suit. But we were poor. I mean, we were real poor. And I won't go too deep into that. But I remember this. I remember that first ministry that God gave us, how He would just always, just constantly show us how good He was. And I remember one time somebody came along and said, Pastor, that is a beautiful suit. Where'd you get that? And I'll never forget the suit, Brian. It was like a cranberry color. And it was window pane. You know what window pane means? It's like them big checks, window pane they call it. Come on, get with the program, folks. Bob Smith, you know what that is, right? You don't know what a window pane suit is? Man. Did you ever hear of Bill Blass?
Yes.
All right, Bill Blass, designer. It was cranberry and it had a gray window pane in it. And I took it to the tailors and they they fit the sleeves and the leverage. Feel like I had it custom made. Custom made, I don't know, if I went to Boyd's of Philadelphia. Did you ever hear Boyd's of Philadelphia? Just be sure. It probably cost $500-$600 back then. I got it at the thrift shop. And I remember right after that, Dave, I preached a message about the perfect will of God. And here's what I said. I said, you know, the perfect will, you don't have to pick that up at the thrift shop. It's custom made just for you. Huh? Now, I've been pastoring a long time, Brian. I've never had a custom-made suit. Nobody's ever bought me a custom-made suit. hint, hint, hint. Nobody's ever bought me a Cosmo. Nor would I ever want one. But God's will is, it's just perfect. And so, the moral of the story is this. God places a yes on His will. We ought to do the same. So wherever God places a yes, we ought to place a yes. Right? Here's one. I can't give it to you. Let me just mention it so you can put it in your notes. God says yes to forgiveness. Now, that's a big one. We'll have to pick that up next time. Okay, I don't want to miss that one because that's important. You know what I learned a long time ago? Forgiveness is a great word until you have to use it. Right? So maybe we'll talk a little bit about that next time. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight. Hope you enjoyed the Bible study. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. We ask Your blessing to be upon our dismissal. I pray You help us to live out this week the things that we've learned. Help us to say yes where You say yes and no where You say no. Help us to be the very best Christians we can be so that You might be glorified, so that we might reflect Your image. Hedge our dismissal, protect our property, each young person coming out of these buildings, keep them safe, and get us home safely. Give us a great end to the week, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached. And just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer that is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.